Hey everyone, this is your pal Cal Dodd, Wolverine from X-Men, the animated series. And you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life, pal. And if you know what's good for you, you'll keep listening, bub.
Hey there, all you superhero fans out there. Welcome to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber. So glad you could all join me here in the lair this week. Man, if you're talking superheroes, if you're talking about bringing them to life on television, in film, on stage, anywhere they come to life, this is the place to be. That's what we're talking about each and every week. Today, I will be joined by the man who gave voice to the legendary Marvel superhero Wolverine 25 years ago. That's right, it is the 25th anniversary of X-Men, the animated series. We're going to be celebrating today with actor Cal Dodd. Cal's going to be along in just a few minutes. Now, as many of you listeners know, this silver anniversary tribute started a few episodes back. That was episode 199, to be exact. That's when I sat down with X-Men, the animated series showrunner Eric Liewald and his wife Julia. She was a writer on the show. She penned some of the classic episodes that we all love. So if you haven't heard that episode yet, by all means, after today's show, go back, check it out, take a listen. If you've subscribed to the show in iTunes already, you've got it there. It's waiting for you. Also, the online lair, my website, comicbookcentral.net. All past episodes are there in the archive. There's over 200 episodes there now. So if you're a new listener, welcome to the show. A lot of great stuff out there for you to check out. You can also find the show at a new home, Blog Talk Radio. Proud to be a part of the Blog Talk Radio family of podcasts. You can find them at blogtalkradio.com. Comic Book Central's there, all of the episodes, and a bunch of cool podcasts are out there as well. So be sure to check all that stuff out. So take a listen to the Liewolds after today's show if you haven't already. And be sure to order Eric's new book if you haven't gotten it already. It's awesome. Previously on X-Men, the making of an animated TV series, they released it on the 25th anniversary date of the premiere of the show. It's an incredible look back at the series. It's from the fine folks at Jacobs Brown Press. We've talked about them here on the show before. They've published three volumes on Star Trek by author Mark Cushman. He also wrote three volumes for Lost in Space. There's a lot of stuff out there. So I've been talking about that on the show. I've been talking about X-Men as well. So a lot of great X-Men behind the scenes tales out there for you to read and to hear. I'm going to be bringing you even more today with the voice of Wolverine, Cal Dodd. So check this out, and then I will be right back with Wolverine, Cal Dodd. Ireland-born and Ontario-raised, it seems like showbiz was always in the blood of Cal Dodd. His parents raised him with a musical background, and he eventually turned that into a career in the studio and on stage, first with the release of a solo album and as part of the 70s rock band Deja Vu. Then a few years later on Canadian broadcasting as the co-host of the musical variety show Circus. His in-studio work has included a ton of commercial jingles, voices of many of our favorite characters on a lot of different animated series, but his most famous work behind the mic came in 1992 when Cal was cast as Logan, aka the Canadian superhero with the claws, Wolverine in X-Men the Animated Series.
I know what you're thinking, punk. Question is, can I get Wolverine before he turns me into shish kebab with those claws? Well, Bob, seeing as how these claws are adamantium, the strongest metal known, and can slice through vanadium steel like a hot knife through butter, buddy, you gotta ask yourself, do I feel lucky?
Now, Wolverine had previously made two one-off appearances in animation, first on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and a 1989 pilot called X-Men Pride of the X-Men. Both times, Wolverine was given an unexplained Australian accent. Very strange. But X-Men the Animated Series was the first regular appearance of the character, and when Cal took on the role, he made it his own, and he secured his place in Wolverine's history. To this day, his voice is the one most of us hear when we read the comic books. Well, my guest today has one of the most recognizable voices in the biz, that is for sure. He is an accomplished singer, and for five seasons, he growled and snicked his way through X-Men the Animated Series as Wolverine. And I am excited to welcome in Cal Dodd. Cal, welcome to Comic Book Central.
Thank you so much. I am as excited as you are to be here.
Oh, and look, it's anniversary time. It's happy 25th anniversary time to you, my friend.
It is so. Happy anniversary to me. Yeah, it is. It certainly is. And I've been inundated with everything. You know, I've done the thing with, I've met our prime minister. I mean, whoever thought that would happen in my life?
Okay, I saw this the other day on the, because look, I talked to Eric and Julia Leewald, and it's on their Facebook page. There's a picture of you and Allison Court, Jubilee. You guys are meeting. So you're up in Canada. So for those listeners that don't know, you're up in Canada. You're in the Great White North. It's the two of you hanging out with Prime Minister of Canada, handing him a book.
I know. And it's not that great white up here. Well, it's great, but it's not white.
Not white yet.
The North. No. But yeah, we presented Eric and Julia's, Eric's book, previously on X-Men, which was just published, I think, 2 weeks ago. Is it ever? It's a beautiful looking book.
On the 25th anniversary day of the series. It came out on the 25th anniversary date.
Of the actual first
premiere episode, came out on the exact date, the 25th. So that was fantastic.
Okay. So we presented, we met him for like 20 minutes to 40 minutes, whatever. And it was just what an experience and a treat and an honor. And he's a great prime. He's a great kid, is what I could say. Because you know,
how does that happen? How does that happen that Wolverine gets to meet the prime minister?
Well, because Wolverine's very cool, you know. And the prime minister was a huge fan of and I asked him that question. He said, "I said I think you'd be a little bit old to be watching that series." Well, no, he said, "The last couple of years, I caught."
And
I had my Wolverine jacket on from the cast jacket, you know, this is a band and then the picture of Wolvie on the back. And so he turns from Court, Allison, who just presented him the book, and he accepts it. Then he turns to me, I'm on his right, and he turns around. And Wolverine has, one of my favorite lines of Wolverine was always, anytime, pretty boy.
You didn't say that to the Prime Minister.
So he turned and said, "Is that now over to here to you?" And I said, "Anytime, pretty boy." He started laughing, and I grabbed his hand and started squeezing it, and the picture is classic. Someone caught it, and he's wincing and laughing at the same time, and we're sort of bent over it. It's like two kids that went to school in grade 5 or 6 together, and I'm getting back at him because he was bigger than me then.
Oh, it's a great picture.
How do you like me now?
It's a great picture. Could you imagine 25? Look, I know the answer to this question, but could you imagine 25 years ago this happening?
No. Every now and then I have to go lie down because it's 25 years ago. And I still miss it. I miss the series to death. And it was one of the finest 5 years of my life.
That was tough for you when it ended, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was.
It's such a great character.
Oh, it's awesome. He had the best lines. I loved him. And it was like losing my brother. You know, it's like losing a bit of myself. It's like, well, what do you mean I can't do that anymore? No. It's over. Wow.
Yeah, because usually animated series maybe get a couple of years run. Like going back to the Super Friends, that lasted forever. But most animated series, they're in and out. I mean, you had that's a pretty epic run for an animated series.
Yeah, but and we were told back then that 5 years would be the max. That's the max they let a series go.
Okay,
and I didn't follow that up by investigating that, but it was 5 great years with some great people.
Yeah,
and it was just I never knew that 25 years later, and this it's like exploding.
Yeah, well, look, that's what we're going to be talking all about that. But I want to time trip back a little further. I want to go back a little further than 25 years. You're originally from one of my favorite places on the planet, Dublin, Ireland. I mean, I'm in Dublin, Ohio, but you're from the real Dublin. You're from Dublin, Ireland.
Yes, I am.
Okay. What kind of kid were you growing up in Dublin? And then sort of take me to like how you got to Canada from then.
Well, Dublin, I was very young when we came over. I was 3 and a half when we came over. And there were my sister, my younger brother, and myself. Mom was with us and we go over from Ireland and my father came ahead of us and got a job and we settled right in this small little town across from you, like across Lake Erie, in Port Dover. He landed there and we grew up in this small little town. He said it looked like Dublin because he came over 8 months before us. And then we followed him and, you know, it was a beautiful little town, still is. and grew up there, music constantly.
Okay, I was curious where the interest in music came from, because I know, like, that's your
father.
Right? That's your love. Your passion is music.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's my life. It was totally.
Yeah.
And my mother was a vocal music teacher, supervisor in the schools, within 10 different schools. She was the music supervisor. She taught piano. And my father was a singer as well, on the side. It was an Irish, typical Irish. We would tour around little towns singing.
Oh, the whole family?
Irish family?
Like the whole family?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And Rory, I'm sure you're aware, Rory went on, we both went to New York to go with the musical that we were involved in. Rory stayed with it, and I went with a rock group, touring with Joe Cocker.
Deja Vu, right?
Deja Vu, yeah. And Rory stayed in New York and did the Broadway show, and he met Meatloaf there. So he got involved with Meatloaf.
Wow.
And was on with Meatloaf, did all these albums, does all the backgrounds of Meatloaf, sings, did the world tour, and then does this little record called Total Eclipse of the Heart. Turn around every now and then, turn around my eyes. Well, that's my little brother.
Wow.
That does that. He was on the Grammy Awards, walked down the stairs and sang it with her on the Grammys, in 1980.
So he's doing vocals on that song?
He's the one that sings, turn around.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. No, he's the duet with Bonnie Tyler.
Oh, my goodness. That's
great.
Yeah,
that's my little brother. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we talk about Deja Vu. What was Deja Vu's closer? What did you guys go out with?
Well, we had just done an album, so it was, it was probably Dance, which was the single from the first album.
Is this pop? Is it rock? Is it what? How would you classify
it? Rock.
Straight up rock.
It was rock. We were handpicked by the Three Dog Night people. Three Dog Night had sort of folded down their operation.
Okay.
And this is 1976. And Three Dog Night had just said, okay, that we're tired, whatever. And they decided, this is such a big money making thing. They replaced the three guys with three guys in Canada. Jay Prokop from Lighthouse, a big band in Canada, handpicked the people, and we went to New York and recorded with Jimmy Einer, one of the biggest producers ever in the recording industry.
Oh, wow.
And did our first album. It was just, it was basically to sort of take the place of Three Dog.
How did you go from rock star to circus performer? How did that happen?
Well, when we did the pilot for Circus, Leslie Nielsen was the ringmaster.
Naked Gun Leslie Nielsen?
Yeah. And this is 1978.
78 to 83, show. Yeah. I've seen little clips, but I haven't seen full episodes at all.
Yeah, no, and it was a fantastic family show, and it was great. It was copied after Donnie and Marie Osmond. And
the variety shows.
Shows
from the 70s.
But a real circus act, serious circus acts.
Yeah.
Lions and tigers, elephants,
yeah.
Trapeze artists, everything. And we did dance. We would dance with, we had six dancers, and we sang a song, three songs. It was like an hour show.
Yeah. Was this like a sort of reaction? Because I know Circus of the Stars was on here in the States. That was 77. Were they influenced by that, or was that did that have nothing to do with?
No, it was. I think it was more Donnie and Marie. Their show was canceled, or they just gave up doing.
So
this
is going to be the Canadian Donnie and Marie then.
Yeah, and Circus was a great venue. I didn't realize that the Circus or whatever you're talking about, but that they might have been thinking along those lines. But it was. I thought it was the first of its kind. It was just. It was so popular. I mean, it was syndicated worldwide. And, I've told that story. My cousin from Galway, my second cousin, my cousin's daughter, little five-year-old with this beautiful accent, comes up to visit us in Canada. And she says, you're Cahill then? And I said, and what's your name, darling? She said, I'm Niamh. You're Niamh. Well, how do you know I'm Cahill? Because that's the way you pronounce it. Cahill is my Irish name. And she said, I've seen you on the telly. She saw a circus.
She saw you all the way over in Ireland.
Yeah, and she's 5 years of age at this point.
Wow, this thing went everywhere, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Because you had a 5 year, talk about 5 year run. You had a 5 year run on that.
Yeah,
show
it was 5 years. Yeah, for sure.
That's fantastic. Yeah. By the way, have you ever like just sat down and thought about how much your career intersects with Hugh Jackman's? He's P.T. Barnum now.
No. Oh my gosh, this is too weird.
Okay,
I mean, the guy sings and dances.
Yes. Yes,
and we're both Wolverine. Like,
yes.
Stop this. This is very weird.
And weren't you guys in like the same, like, didn't you guys do a Broadway play, like the same show? Like, you guys were in like the same, you had the same roles. I heard that in one of the interviews, I think, in one of the shows.
Oh, if he played Curly in Oklahoma.
Wasn't that it?
Then I think it was. I think. I remember reading that somewhere. Yeah, and I was Curly in Oklahoma.
Okay, so when are you guys going to do a single? Like, can you guys first cut is the deepest? Can you guys get together?
The first cut is the deepest.
Can you do
that
this?
Is very good, Joe.
Can you do this for us?
Oh, that would be classic. The Wolverine singing, the first cut is the deepest.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Could you guys call him? Have your people call his
Don't
people.
Don't call him.
You got him on speed dial.
Yeah. Oh, gee, I'll get right on that. Yeah, I've got him on speed dial, all right.
Look, look, if this happens, I'll only take 10%. That's all.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. You can get that. Lord.
That's
very funny.
Okay, so we're coming. Before I get to X-Men, though, real quick, Fraggle Rock. Did you get to actually work with Jim Henson or just kind of like?
Yes, he came in. He was in there about three or four times.
Wow.
Like in the studio and stuff.
Yeah.
And just would meet us and talk. We would just, of course, talk to him and look Google-eyed at him. That was a great experience. That was, again, was it like about 5 years, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Down at Fraggle Rock, because we helped him. It was Sharon Lee Williams and myself, this singer here. And we were just there to back up their vocals, you know, any singing that they had to do. And then I did a little part. I forget what I was one of the, not doobies. I forget what they were called. Those little workers with the hats on.
Oh yeah, I had it here, and I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, I got to do a little character, which was exciting because I'd never done anything but sing, and you know, that was very cool working with those guys. They were so fantastic, all of them.
Okay, this is. And I always ask, you know, I always kind of wonder about this because when you come in, because actors are like, look, that's my peer. I'm not going to, you know, I'm on the same level as this. But when Jim Henson's in the room, especially at that point, we're talking like 83. I mean, so we've got Sesame Street, we've got Muppets, we've got all these things behind us. You had to have just, because you mentioned Starstruck Googly-Eyed. Was that, like, how do you get over fanboy Cal Dodd and become like professional actor Cal Dodd around Jim Henson?
Well, you don't. I didn't. I never became a professional actor boy, ever, nor ever pretended to be, or ever
to this day.
Oh no, good Lord!
That's great. You never lost the kid
Lord,
in
but
you.
I always in front of him. I always wanted to do Kermit. I wanted to say, like, I can sing exactly. You will think if I sing my Kermit for you, you'll think you're hearing yourself. I always wanted to do that because I love that. You know, why are there always, you know, that song, that great song. Where they're always thinking about rainbows, that thing.
Can you give us some Rainbow Connection?
Well, I don't know the lyrics, so again, I would.
Oh, why are there so many songs about rainbows?
Why are there so many? Yeah, I can't right now.
Oh, you got me wanting to do Kermit now.
But it's just that, you know, you get the gist. It's like, why are there always songs about rainbows? Whatever, I don't know the lyrics, so I don't want to ruin it, but I just, then back then it was just a gimme.
Yeah. Did you get to do it for him?
No.
Okay. Yeah, he just, I mean, the word genius gets thrown around so often, but I mean, he was truly a genius, a visionary.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I'll say.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have the gumption or the nerve to go up and ever say it. Can I sing for you? Can I just sing one song for you?
Smart.
No, not a chance.
You're a smart man. You're a smart man,
Cal
Dodd.
Oh, no kidding. Oh my goodness.
Like he'd never heard anybody do that.
Oh, talk about icons.
Yeah.
There's a genius.
Yeah. Oh boy, you got to work with some of the greatest. Well, look, okay, how does a professional singer, a rock and roll guy, a variety show performer, how do you get into voiceover acting? This was, you just kind of fell in because everyone always asks you, I'm sure, how do you get into voice acting? And you probably can't tell them exactly how to do it, right?
Well, as I said, I was the best moments of my life were obviously been spent in a studio singing jingles. radio and TV commercials, you know, going in and twice a day, every day for like, you know, 30 years. And just singing, greeting friends all the time, and they'd actually pay you to sing, sit and sing about beer or Coca-Cola or Frosted Flakes. And well, I also did like Tony the Tiger for about a week for about.
Oh, you were the voice of Tony the Tiger?
They're great! Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Great. Anyway, so I didn't get into that stuff until I never did a voice in my life before I did. I'm going to say before I did Wolverine.
Ugh.
No, I did one, and it was for Chrysler, and I was the voice of Chrysler for 2 years, but I didn't have an agent for voice, and you have to have an agent to get work. I was singing, and that's all I was doing, and a year before I got the voiceover job with Chrysler, I was doing a job with Chrysler as the sergeant, who's like, and we're booked as singers, so who's got all the 4x4s? Chrysler's got the 4x4s, sound off. And I was the guy yelling out the sound off.
And oh, the like the drill sergeant kind of guy.
Yeah, the drill sergeant kind of guy. But I was still saying, who's got all the 4x4s? You know, and then the other kids would say, Chrysler's got down for me. Anyway, this guy a year later remembered that and remembered that sound and said, would you like to be the voice of Chrysler for the next year? I said, well, nice. Gee, let me think about that. What does that mean? He said, well, you know, you'll be our voice. And I said, oh, okay. He said, doesn't matter. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it was my first job, and it was silly. The money was silly. It was just stupid.
Yeah.
And
silly good or silly bad?
It was silly good.
Oh, there you go. Because, you know, silly good is great.
Chrysler, oh, yes. Chrysler competing against Ford and Chevrolet and whatever, all the other companies. And every week you'd have to go in and, oh, they beat it. They cut their rates down. On the leasing thing, we have to come in and do it again. I said, oh, no. Oh, okay, I'll be in.
Ka-ching.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And there's been nothing since that. But, you know, there's been nothing that good since then. But then, you know, then people are wondering, who is this person doing the right? Because agents know all about their client. And voiceover people have agents. You don't get work if you don't have an agent.
Yeah.
So this agent kept chasing me. And I got that finally. I said, okay, sure. And so I joined them, and you know, like after 6 months, I didn't get a thing. I was because they sent me to auditions and stuff, and I was like nothing. I kept apologizing to them, and finally she said, "Don't worry, it'll happen." And it did.
And then okay, so is it casting director Karen Gora?
And it was yes, because it was, and that's where we are now, right at Karen Gora, because the only thing I'd done was the Chrysler thing. And I don't know why she thought of me, because again, I didn't have an agent. All the other people in the cast had agents. She phoned me and said, would you like to go in to an audition for this thing? And I said, who is this? She said, Karen Gore. I said, okay, sure, where is it? And what is it? She said, well, it's for something called the X-Men. I said, okay. And told me
okay,
the studio.
So you weren't aware of, like, no. you weren't a comic book kid.
Oh, I loved Superman.
Okay.
I loved Superman, yeah.
Okay, but not the Marvel stuff, the X-Men stuff.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
No, I wasn't.
No, this was the funny thing, because when I talked to Eric Lewald, he, you know, like he had to kind of like get caught up to speed too, you know, when they're coming in. It was almost like he was like, oh, you know, I didn't have all these preconceived notions coming in. So you kind of had a fresh approach to it. So that's kind of interesting that you had that you didn't have the background either.
And I didn't realize that Norm, who's played Cyclops, Norm Spencer, said, he said, What's because he was like Cyclops, it was like Mr. like to me Captain America. Mm-hmm. He said, "What's an X-Man?" In his voice, don't talk like that, Norm. You're not doing the part right now.
It's a paycheck.
I don't know what an X-Man is. I can't help it.
It's a paycheck.
He sounded like Ted Knight. I have no idea what an X-Man is.
Look, I've heard you do Ted Knight on other. I'm a huge Ted Knight fan.
Oh, I do Ted Knight great. I love.
I'm a huge Ted Knight fan, but you know he's like the voice of Super Friends. Like the meanwhile at the Hall of Justice, he's that guy. Like he did that. I would love for like if they ever did a remake of Super Friends, I would love for you. Oh, how great would that be for you to bring Ted Knight back? Give us a little. Lou.
I did Ted Knight this morning. Yeah, I did for an account that I get off whatever it was, but it's like. Okay, Mary, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. like, hi, Lou. Morning, Mary. And then that stupid laugh when he gets nervous.
I can listen to Ted Knight all day. That's
oh, I love Ted
okay.
Knight. Yeah, same
so,
here.
So you're in the studio now. So you guys are trying to figure out what the X-Men are and trying to fit. Like, what direction are they giving you to play Wolverine? Are you seeing a picture? Or are you getting like some notes? Or what are they telling you? Like, how are you bringing this character to life?
Most of it was Joe Calamari that I was talking to, who was with Marvel. And he was wonderful. And he said, this series is about you. He said, this is this whole thing. He said, be prepared. He kind of pre-warned me, and he said, but he's like, we're going to be really critical about, because he's very important to the whole thing. And he said, he will be featured front and center of any pictures.
Wow.
I said, okay. Well, again, and who is he? What is he? Well, he tells me the story. Who is he? Well, he had these things, but it's because, you know, he tells me the story, and I'm looking at him like he's got five heads. and he's like 5'3" or 4" or something. I said, oh, okay. And we hear him sort of like, and the references were, and I swear it was Ward Bond, and Ward Bond was like so old, like from Wagon Train.
Yeah, that's not, you're going like way back with, like, how is somebody going to get that as a reference?
Clint Eastwood, of course. Yeah. Clint Eastwood, and I put in Wolfman Jack when they gave me the first script to read. They gave me the first script, and it was that script that says, you're like picking on people smaller than you. I'm smaller than you. Pick on me, bub. And they just, when they heard that, they just went like, oh, okay. Give him something else to read quick.
The line I love from the book. It says, "Once you said Karen Gore called you on a whim, but once we heard, quote, that voice, we had our Wolverine." Like, this was locked in.
It did. They just sort of all just sort of sit back and put their arms behind their heads in the studio, in the control room. And I said, well, so what? I said, you like picking on people smaller than you? Well, I'm smaller than you. Pick on me, punk. You know, they just went, wow, hello.
Nice. I almost hear like a little bit of Popeye when I'm watching the cartoon. I almost hear just a slight, almost just like a slight Popeye in there. Am I wrong?
I can't believe you said that, because in some other, when I'm talking to people about it, they say, well, like, we went to school, like on a podcast that I do, we would go to school and all of us, they were like 11, 10, 12, whatever. We were trying to imitate your, you know, and running around trying to be Wolverine in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
And I said, well, in my day, the people we were trying to impersonate was Popeye.
So is there, am I wrong? Is there a little bit of Popeye in there?
No. Well, you're hearing that. I never thought of that.
Okay. Fair enough. I didn't know if like maybe you threw that in there. Just maybe that's like, all those years of Popeye.
No. Blow me down. Well, blow me down. I'll then. But then go sweepy again, the little, you know, no matter what he's up to, do you? No.
Not that level of Popeye. Okay. Maybe I'm way off base here. Don't pop the claws on me. How did you see the character of Wolverine? Because you mentioned these influences, but like at some point you've got to take it over and make it your own. How did you see the character? And did you kind of like go through any comic books to see what was there? Because this is like the first Wolverine we got to hear.
Yes, it was the first Wolverine.
Yeah.
I just glommed onto him, and the lonely thing got to me, and I thought, well, this guy's, you know, he's a loner, which I liked, and he's just off on his own. He does like, but don't mess with him. And I don't know. It just happened. It was like osmosis or something. I didn't like read any comic books and go, so this is what he was like. And
okay. You knew this guy though. Like, you knew who this guy was.
Oh yes. Yeah. From the writing, from the lines that they're, you know, growing up in a small town, you hear those lines all the time, from the tough boys in the town. At least once or twice a summer, you'd hear anything along those lines, and like, yeah, that's right. Pretty boy. Anytime.
You mentioned Clint Eastwood. Obviously, I'm a huge Clint Eastwood fan, and there's like so many of those loner roles that he did. Were you influenced by some of like maybe Man with No Name kind of movies, those old spaghetti westerns and things like that? Obviously, the Dirty Harry line.
Yeah,
comes up.
Yeah. But I never thought of him. He was never in my head when I was doing the line or Wolverine, because Wolverine became his own person to me. And the voice is not Clint, but except for that one.
give it to us, because there's the iconic Wolverine/Dirty Harry line.
Yeah, So it's like, I know what you're thinking, Punk. Question is, can I get Wolverine before he turns me into shish kebab with those claws? Well, bub, see as how these claws are adamantium, the strongest metal known, and can slice through vanadium steel like a hot knife through butter, buddy. You got to ask yourself, do I feel key?
See, that
my favorite line.
I told you I'm a huge Clint Eastwood fan. When those two worlds crisscross, when the worlds of Wolverine and Clint Eastwood crisscross, that you when you got that on a script, you had to have just been like, oh yeah, I gotta tear into this.
Oh yeah,
that's gold.
Oh, I just love this. Yeah, it is. And I wonder how they get away with that.
It's a kind of kids show. I know. Well, but wasn't that the key? Wasn't that the key? Was that they didn't try to make it a kid show? It was serialized.
No,
they took their kids' audience seriously, didn't they?
Who's ever heard of an animated series that had like every week you would hear previously on X-Men? Like, no animated series has that. Mm-hmm. That's like a series, a regular series, live people previously on As the World Turns. This is like a cartoon, an animated series. Previously on X-Men, and they would give you a review and bring you up to date. It's like, wow, they're treating us seriously.
Well, I think that was the key, and I think that's why we're still talking about it 25 years later, was that it wasn't a throwaway series. They did take kids seriously. It did look different than anything else that was on at the time.
And they addressed so many things in life and stuff, which Wolverine happened to be a lot of people's favorite because he was much different and went off on his own and was hurt. And some stories I've heard from Eric about a child who said, you saved my life because I was about to commit suicide, jump off a roof or something, whatever the kid was going to do because he was always being pestered at school. He said, but I didn't know what I was going to do if I couldn't get up on Saturday and watch the X-Men animated series again.
Is that amazing?
And see my best friend Wolverine, he wouldn't do this. No, it's just amazing. It is. That stuff's amazing, Joel. Yeah. And that's you hear that all the time.
But didn't that it sort of appealed to everybody, didn't it? Like it's like anybody could see something in there. There was a character or something situation that somebody could relate to.
Oh, for sure. And you got Jubilee, who's what, 12, 13, mm-hmm. whatever age she was. All the characters were so good.
Well, yeah, you and mentioned, so you know, different. Cyclops, you had the sort of upstanding guy, superhero guy, and then you had Wolverine that was just like, don't mess with me. It's just, you know.
I know, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
And Cyclops is always like, where is he? I suppose he's off doing what he wants by himself, or doing his own thing. He's like, anytime, pretty boy. Like, get a job. I just loved arguing with Cyclops. It was just hilarious.
Okay, did you guys get to record? Because I know I talk with voice actors all the time, and depends on how the production goes. Some record as a radio play with the whole cast. Some are just isolated by themselves. How did you guys record?
Well, we started with everyone in there, like all eight of us at once sometimes, eight, whatever, depending on the episode and how many guys were involved. But we did have up to like eight, and it just got ridiculous. And the spillage and the leaking for the engineer.
Yeah.
He's going, oh, my goodness, this is ridiculous. You know, because you'd be doing a scene. I remember doing a fight scene with Sabretooth, and they were like strenuous sessions. But they were getting so much leakage, you know, and it's a fight scene. You can't actually stop. They told us to wait 2 or 3 seconds, pause before your other guy next to you does his line because we're getting leakage. Mm-hmm. And that got really silly. But we did sort of have to do those fight scenes together because we're both growling like idiots anyway. So they and stuff. So it didn't matter whose growl was whose because we both sort of sounded the same.
Do you prefer one style over the other, recording by yourself or recording with a group?
I love the group thing. I love the group thing. And because you can sort of make eye contact with them as well and, you know, and get them into it. Because it was a bit, not weird, but it was a bit, it was a bit lonely when we would go in and just do all our lines by ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's your voice director at that time, Dan Hennessy, who was fantastic, would just say, okay, so here's what's happening here, Cal. You know, he's feeling this and that. So give him this, you know, give him that feeling or give me more of a gruff. He's really upset here. Okay. So, you know, you relied on your voice director at that point. more so than just picking up from a natural reaction from the rest of the cast, which is what I loved. I loved having them there. You go, like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like looking at them. So I said, okay, anytime, pretty boy. And like almost a stepping towards them, you know, and having him give his answer back and go like, oh, okay, give me a minute.
It does impact your voice. Yeah, I would imagine. Were you recording in Canada or were you recording in LA?
Canada.
Okay, so you didn't get a chance to, when you did the Spider-Man episodes, you didn't get to record with Christopher Daniel Barnes or Mark Hamill?
No, okay. Unfortunately.
No, I was curious about that because you guys were all up in Toronto doing this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All the X-Men were Canadians, saving them money. I mean, it was big money back in those days. They saved a big dollar doing it that way. But, and as Eric says in the book, it was just like someone put their hand and said, this will be a blessed union. This will work out fine for everyone.
Boy,
and it was. It was just magic the way it happened. It's just unbelievable.
What is it about the X-Men comic books, the X-Men animated series, the movies? What is it about this franchise that's so popular, that just resonates with people, do you think?
Oh, again, I'll just go back to say, I think it's because everyone can identify with someone of the X-Men. X-Men, X-Women, someone will identify. And I think it's fantastic that they had the female characters for, you know, girls. Mm-hmm. You know, hello. Storm, Rogue, was fantastic. What a voice that was.
Yeah.
Rogue, Lenore Zan, and Jean Grey. And it was, you know, there's that between Jean Grey and the triangle, Wolverine, Jean Grey, and Cyclops, that sort of thing. Oh, my God. I felt so badly for Wolverine. I wanted him to be with her. You know, and so did he.
Yeah, of course
Jean.
He did, yeah.
Jean!
Oh, and we've seen that play in the movies too. We're celebrating the 25th anniversary of this. I know Warner Brothers is always bringing back actors from Batman the Animated Series. That was on the same time you guys were. The most recent example we have this year's Batman and Harley Quinn. Have you ever been contacted by Marvel or Disney to come back and voice Wolverine, like maybe for an animated feature or something?
No, which is like that would be unbelievable. That would like make my that would make my day, my career.
Okay.
If someone actually said it. And I wonder I think the next thing is like do an animated movie.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand why that hasn't even entered their minds.
Would you
and
be
I'm
up
sure
for
has.
Like would you be up for
oh,
like
God.
A and like an oh. animated version of Logan or Old Man Logan that they did they kind of did the feature film version with Hugh Jackman? Would you be
Yeah, I know. So okay. I didn't know if why would they do the animated thing at all? But I just think, and you know, a lot of people think they would definitely go see that with the original, like with the voices of, you know, whoever can still do it.
Well, they're always bringing Kevin Conroy back as Batman. They're always bringing the.
Oh, I know. And they're writing in that new series with Byron. Mm-hmm. Burton, with that the gang's all here. I'll be doing. He's introducing because they're all animals. He's introducing. You'll love this. A Wolverine into the show, and he said it'll be hilarious. You're going to have like a guest appearance. Like I'll be Wolverine again
okay.
in this new series.
You walk me right into this. This is like as we're recording this interview. This news just hit the wire on the Hollywood Reporter. Okay, here I'll just give it the headline here. Superhero voice actors developing all-star animated series. You're in this. You're coming back to the world of superhero. But you're animals, right?
Oh, I'm beside myself. Well, no, I know, but I'm playing a pig, Sergeant Snout, and Kevin's a superhero dog that flies as well as a bear. And then now they're introducing, which I can hardly wait for it, because of course it's going to be Wolverine, like this Wolverine that's going to be in the thing. It's an actual, you know, a Wolverine.
Okay, so you're doing Sergeant Snout. This is
Sergeant Snout. Yep.
This is a pig, obviously.
Who's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you actually going to do like a Wolverine, like a character that is a Wolverine?
Oh, yes, for the Wolverine part. Oh my gosh! Yeah,
this is. I love this. This is amazing.
Oh, Byron just said that was for certain. This is huge. He just said this will be so cool.
Yeah, and it gets
I
even
want
bigger.
You to make a guest appearance.
It gets even bigger because tell our listeners who's coming out of retirement for this.
Oh, and I know Andrea Romano.
Oh,
who is going to direct this?
My goodness, is this crazy or what? When can we see this?
Absolutely
when will we
absurd.
See this?
I don't. You're asking the wrong person.
I'm asking Sergeant Snout.
You can call Rob Paulson, who's one of the co-writers, or Byron Burton, and Rob Paulson used to be more than happy to speak with you.
He sent me the email. Look, this is going to be a future episode of Comic Book Central. I can tell you that.
Well, send you the email? Didn't I send you it?
Yeah, no, I have it. No. He did. I'm gonna get in touch with him. But I'm talking to Sergeant Snout. Can you give us a little Sergeant Snout? A preview?
I don't have the script in front of me. Well,
okay.
The reason they put his first line, and I couldn't believe it. I don't want to talk to you, maggot. I said, this is definitely Wolverine. And he was even more like a grunt. He's a sergeant, of course. He said, I don't want to talk to you, maggot. I want to gut you. but when he laughs, he goes like, he gets like little grunts and snorts in
because
him.
Of the nose. Yeah, the snout. Nice. Well, this is full circle. You're coming back from like your old car commercial days with your drill sergeant and combining it with Wolverine. Look at you going full circle with this.
Look at you doing full circle. You stop that. Oh, gosh, Joe, you're good.
Oh, man, look, I'm stoked for this. I saw this come over email, and I'm like, okay, I cannot wait for this. So just the fact that you're back in the studio, we love that. That's amazing.
Oh, so am I. I can't tell you how happy I am. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah,
Looking forward to that. You're going to be directed by Andre Romano. You're going to be working with Kevin Conroy. Are you going to be recording up in Toronto, or are you coming down to the States?
I will go there. I want to go to wherever they're doing it. Probably, well, I don't know. I'm sure. I assume. Well, I don't know. That'll be up to them.
Okay.
I'll go wherever they want.
Yeah.
Whether it's L.A. or New York, I don't care.
Oh, that'd be nice to see you guys like in the studio together.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
I need to be with these people in the studio. Yeah.
Like you were standing next to Jim Henson. That's what we will be when we see you guys together. Trust me on this one. That's going to be crazy big. Look, 25th anniversary of X-Men. This is a fantastic series. It's on Hulu. I don't know if we're ever going to get a Blu-ray release. Maybe if Disney, I think right after I recorded with Eric and Julia, there were rumors that Disney was going to buy out Fox. And it's like, okay, we might actually get a Blu-ray release of this thing at some point. Oh.
Disney was going to buy out Fox?
It was like a week after I recorded with them. We joked about it on the show that when Disney finally owns everything, maybe once they own that and all their lawyers own everything, we'll finally get some of these Fox deals worked out. And then like a week later, it was like Disney, it was rumored to buy Fox. So I don't know where that is, but...
Oh my gosh.
Maybe we'll get a Blu-ray and see you and hear you in glorious Blu-ray and high def sound and all these different things. That'd be fun.
Wow. Wow. Would that ever be cool?
All right. So 25th anniversary, we got the book out. We'll put the link up to get that. Upcoming convention appearances. Do you pop out and get to see the fans at all?
Well, yeah, I was supposed to be in Manchester and London in October. Didn't make either one of those. January, middle of January, a small one in, it's just a town outside of Toronto, Mississauga. And, I'm just dipping my toes in those waters.
Nice. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. You got all this stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get to see you out and about. I know you're on social media, you're on Twitter, and the website is what? Cal Dodd with 2D or with 3Ds .com. Yeah.
CalDodd.com, yeah.
And we can order your CD. We can, like, hear Wolverine sing.
You can.
Jazz standards, right?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, okay.
That'd be fantastic. Can you give us a little... What's your go-to karaoke song?
I don't do karaoke.
You get paid for it. Well, yeah, you'll do it for free, right?
Karaoke. I don't do karaoke, bub. No. Not for free.
He gets paid. Oh,
okay, I'm gonna go now.
now that we're talking about doing free, Cal, happy 25th anniversary. I had a blast having a blast reading this book. This is amazing, and looking forward to this new series. Congrats on that. That's fantastic news.
Thank you so much, Joe.
All right, so if you've heard that previous interview on 199, I joked about Disney's buyout of Fox with X-Men's Eric and Julia Leewald. Right after I wrapped this interview with Cal Dodd that you just heard, the Walt Disney Company reached a deal to buy most of 21st Century Fox for around $52 billion. Look, we kind of saw that coming, right? So look, we're going to likely get X-Men in the Marvel movie universe, probably going to be hanging with the Avengers. We know that's probably coming around the corner. But will we finally see a Blu-ray release of X-Men the Animated Series? That would be cool. Who knows? Who knows what this merger is going to be? But that possibility just got a little brighter with that buyout. So what we do have is a fantastic new book previously on X-Men, The Making of an Animated Series. We have Cal's music. You can get that out there as well. It's fantastic. So if you check out the show notes for this episode on my website, comicbookcentral.net, or the show notes on blogtalkradio.com, you're going to find links to get all of that really cool stuff. While you're at the website, comicbookcentral.net, you click that Signal Me tab, or you send an email to me directly at joe@comicbookcentral.net. Tell me what you think of the X-Men animated series. Tell me what you think of the new book, if you got it. There's a lot of great stories in there. What guests would you like to hear from? What kind of tributes? Are there anniversaries coming up in 2018 that I need to know about? There's a super anniversary coming up. I can tell you right now, we're going to have a lot of super guests. Again, there's your hint, so that's going to be coming your way. Let me know. You can click the links also to follow Comic Book Central on Twitter, at ComicBookCTRL. You can like it on Facebook, facebook.com/ComicBookCentralNetwork. That's if you want to get there directly, but those links are on the website as well. I post the episodes there each and every week, and that is the best way that you can share the lair. Share and retweet those episodes each and every week. Thanks to all of you out there who are doing that. I really appreciate it. Love when you do that. So you new listeners, just click share, just click retweet. Get that out there to all your friends, your comic book loving friends and family out there. They're going to like the show as well. All right, kids, time to close up shop for this week, but I will be back before you know it, because next week on Comic Book Central, from the blockbuster DC movie smash hit Justice League. Hey, look, we all love our superheroes, right? But someone's got to raise those superpowered beings with good morals, right? All right, well, next week I'm going to welcome Cyborg's dad. He's going to be here in the lair. He also worked for Lex Luthor in Smallville. He tried to shut down Skynet in Terminator 2. Actor Joe Morton, he's going to be here. Lots to talk about next week. Until then, keep out of the way of Wolverine's claws, bub. Keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations, 3.0 imported license. All of the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Get set. The circus is coming your way.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Circus. Starring Cal Dodd and Cherise Lowe.
Cherise Lawrence are your hosts for Circus, Mondays at 7:30 on CKCO TV.